Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashon class learning. Of course, it is Chas Av, Erev Tisha B'Av. When we say Erev Tisha B'Av, it brings to mind the Gemara, Mesachas Tainis. We're not going to go through it again, but the spies came back. And the Gemara says, Erev Tisha B'Av, this day is the day that the Meragim came back from Erev Tisha. Oh, that means this day is the day that they were reported their Lashon Hara. That night was Tisha B'Av. So what day did they come back and say how bad the land is and it consumes the inhabitants and we can't go up? Eretz Ocheles Yoshvei. We saw the Amalek there. It was this day. So this day, if days have a certain kochos, then this day really has a koch of Lashon Hara, you could say. So we really have to strive very hard to be misaking that koach that is featured in this day. So we'll begin to Tefillah Al HaDibur, please. Hey, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yiratzon Lefanecha, Rachem Lechanan, Shetizakeinu Hayom Uvechol Yom, Nishmor Pi Lashoni Milashon Hara Rechilus, Vezahar Miladaber Afilu Al Ish Yachid, Vekol Shekein Ar Kol Yisrael, O Al Chelek Mehem, Vekol Shekein Mil Yisraim, Al Midosef Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vezahar Miladaber Divrei Sheker, Chanufa Mechlokas Kaas Gaira, O Naas Devarim Labanas Panim Leitzanis Vekol Dibur Asur, Vezakeinu Shel Ledaber Kim Dabar Hatzarich Leinyani Goofy Vinafshi, you come as I would do the shame shamaim, amen. Schos for Analia Nashama and Zechanish must be Gersh and Banyo Vahana, Alava Shams, Nasham Shahavanalia, to be a melee to usher for all of us during this difficult time, also with your permission. Schos for Shalema Bracha, Vigail Basrachel, Ghetto Basoch, Shar Chole Yisrael. Interesting to ponder that today is a tremendous Koach Adibur. The spies came back today, also Yom Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. Mesachas Tainis Choftes, and they sat down, they cried that night, Amar Lama Kalash Baruch Hu, Atem Bechisim Shachiyach, Bechiyah Shachinim, and Ikovelech, and Bechiyah Ladoros. They spoke Lashon Hara today, they sat down to cry that night, and here we are. So tonight it begins Tisha B'Av, we will go to show, we hear Megillas Eicha, Lo Aleichem, Kol Avei Derech, Abitu, Re'u, Miesh Machov, Kamach Ovi, Asher Olal, Hashem Bi, B'yam Charon Appa, is there a pain like my pain? So it's interesting, I'm going to begin with a story related both to Tisha B'Av, but also very much related to Shmiras HaLashon. So I just finished this book, which I really recommend. It's called Against All Odds by Barbara Bloom. Her son Moshe, Zichrono Levracha, was injured, a devastating accident. He lived for 13 years after his birth. So I mentioned her in that year. He lived for 13 years after the injury, and it's how the family went to really the ends of the earth to take care of their son and think of him whatever quality of life was possible until he ultimately died of his injuries 13 years after his injury. It's very, very moving. It's very courageous. It's very tragic. It's very heart-wrenching. But there's one story in here that is so related to Shmiras HaLashon. When I read it at the time, I wrote it down. Power of words. So this is the story that I want to share with you, both as an introduction, moving into the mind frame of Tisha B'Av, and also being that this is a Shmiras HaLashon class. Moshe learned to paint with his mouth. His mother helped him learn how to paint with, he was completely paralyzed, holding the paintbrush in his mouth. Our air raid shelter in Israel, of course, every home is an air raid shelter, every apartment building became his studio. His paintings were sensitive, energetic, lively, abstract. We had a record player in the studio. Who remembers record players? Many times we listened to music while he painted. That's interesting why it wasn't so long ago. Maybe from translating out of the English, maybe it wasn't Hebrew, maybe it wasn't a record player, whatever. And he was tired, he needed a break. I would read him about the composer of the music. When Moshe had a large collection of works, we began to consider making him an exhibition. Moshe was very excited about the idea. He painted with great enthusiasm. He wanted to have enough works to be at the exhibition. So they submitted the paintings to the committee in charge of exhibitions at the Wounded Veterans Recreation Center. They called a few weeks later. There would be an opening for an exhibition in May of 2000. His mother writes a book. I myself was as excited as if I was about to have an exhibition. One of the painting teachers came to choose the works. There were about 20 framed works and 70 unframed works on large white panels. We handed out invitations to families, neighbors, aides, relatives, whoever might be interested. The exhibition was set for 6 o'clock in the evening. At noon, I came to help set up. When I got home, I told Moshe he had a beautiful exhibition. In the afternoon, Moshe decided he must paint. If you read the story, he becomes a little impulsive. His memory it doesn't serve him so well. We have to leave, I said. I can't leave till we paint. He painted. We came to the hall. So the mother says that she overheard people's comments about Moshe's paintings. Who painted this wonderful gift for us? One person said. Very sensitive, very beautiful, another said. A celebration for our eyes. And then another said, my 5-year-old grandson can paint better than this. Everyone came to congratulate Moshe. He looked overwhelmed. Someone from target practice came. Okay. An official from the recreation center arrived. When he saw a room full of people, he felt it was his duty to give a speech. You know, everyone in charge wants to give a speech. He spoke about the importance of the recreation center, the opportunity it provided for wounded veterans, and he specifically spoke about Moshe's exhibition. He welcomed, so first he gave some advertisement for his center, some fundraising, and he welcomed those present. He dedicated a few words just for Moshe, quote, I would like to congratulate Moshe, even though he couldn't speak, and even though he was paralyzed and he was in a wheelchair, he understood. I'd like to congratulate Moshe for the effort he has invested. It's wonderful he put so much effort into painting. One can easily see his handicap in his painting because he can only paint with his mouth. I hope in a few years, if he continues to work hard, he'll be able to paint real things instead of just this scribble-scrabble. His mother writes, I nearly fainted. I suddenly realized what a violent person I am. I had a burning desire to kick this man. To my relief, one of the painting teachers, herself a noted artist, had brought her class to the exhibition after hearing the official's words. She said, in light of what she had just heard, she felt obligated to say a few words. And she said, I would like to disagree with what was just said. We have a beautiful exhibition. It is sensitive. It is mature. It is full of wisdom. And I wish my students who can paint with their hands would paint as wonderfully as this young man. I felt like kissing her. I wanted to thank her. We were surrounded with people who wanted to congratulate Moshe. By the time I could get to her, she had left. Moshe sold works. People wrote praises in his notebooks. The exhibition raised his morale. He felt he was officially a painter. The next Shabbat, one of the people in Shul told Moshe how much he liked the exhibition. My sweet, supportive son answered, all the credit goes to my mother. Moshe passes away after 13 years at the age of 34, after 13 years of living with his injury. But this story, when I read it, is so impactful. In light of our learning, in light of humanity, in light of who we are, of who we strive to be, in light of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sin, how much does it cost to give a compliment to somebody else? And I just read it again. The Zohar says that not only will we be accountable for things that we said negatively, but we will also be accountable in the Olam HaEmes for compliments we did not give. I just saw it brought down by Rav Elimelech Biderman. It's brought down in the Hani Machlis book, but then I just saw it brought down recently by Rav Biderman. We will be held accountable for compliments that we did not give. How much does it cost? So when we read the story, we have two sides of the coin here. My man, to further his own purpose, could get up and publicly insult this. What did this boy have in his life? When you read it, his Simchas HaChaim, his life is so difficult, and he gets up and publicly shames him. Kohem Samayin, of course, is Kamtza Bar Kamtza. Because of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, says the Gemara, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We all know the story. He had a friend named Kamtza, an enemy named Bar Kamtza. Instead of inviting Kamtza, the messenger invited Bar Kamtza, and the man says, what are you doing here? The host, what are you doing here? You're my enemy. So he says, I'll pay for my food. Get out. Please let me stay. I'll pay for half the meal. Get out. Please let me stay. I'll pay for the whole meal. That's what the Gemara tells us. Gittin, Maseches Gittin, Nunhei, Tununvav, no, got out, he was thrown out, and Bar Kamtza said the rabbis were there, nobody said anything, it must be that they agree. He went and he told the emperor, the Jews are rebelling against you. So because of shame and because of embarrassment, how much does it cost to compliment somebody else? So we have an unbelievable comparison between men who had no problem insulting another human being publicly, a man who was sensitive and understood that the power of words to build up another person. So, Tezich Rabarach, and it's a lesson we should all try and internalize very much. Did I make a bracha before?
Yes, you did.
Thank you. Okay, we're on page 60. We're just finishing up. Okay, we're finishing this paragraph actually today.
Okay.
Behine, last paragraph there. Behine mimashu amri chazal, and based on what the Gemara has told us, tells us, in Masachas Sukkah, ay the Rasha v'ay the Shechina, woe to the Rasha and woe to his neighbor. Rasha quotes this by the Machlokas of Korach, because Korach and Dasan and Reuven were from Reuven. Dasan and Aviram from Reuven, Korach's from Sheva Levi. What is Reuven becoming involved in Korach's fight for? You have to watch who you live next to. You have to watch who your neighbor is. Okay. Of course, by the way, it's still important today. We have to make sure when we choose a neighborhood, a kehila, a shul, where we daven, that it's a place that will bring us up. Tov l'tzadik, tov l'shcheino. On the other hand, it is good for the righteous and it's good for his neighbor, because almost through osmosis, you will be influenced in a positive fashion by the person who lives near you. Muchach mizek, you call Adam po'a b'midosav l'hashpia al zulaso. We learn from this teaching of Chazal that a person has tremendous power through the actions and his midos to influence other people. So it's very, very powerful. And therefore, one who accepts upon himself to guard his tongue, and he is very careful with his character traits, rabim, many, of many people who he knows, makir, many people who recognize him. Many, doesn't even say his friends, by the way, notice that. Or that the Chavos Chaim is many of his friends, and maybe of his many of his neighbors, and many of his family. Many people are acquainted with him, because the truth is that when you see a person who acts properly in a righteous way, you do feel an influence, even if it's only a short conversation with them. Rabbi Mima Kirav Yilmudu Mimas of Lehis Naheg Gam Kin Kacha. So many people who are just acquainted, who recognize him, just from having a brief contact with someone, will learn from his ways to behave in such a fashion. V'yikabas Char Gam Avura, and will get schar for this. So, by the way, what's the Chavetz Chaim saying? V'yikabas Char Agam Avuram. Who will get schar? Not only will the people get schar for correcting their ways. The person who's setting the proper example, he too will get schar. So not only will be credited for your proper lashon, your proper dibur, your proper shmiya, but you will get credit for theirs also. That's not why we should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, Chazal say you should not be like a servant who serves the master to get a prize, but it shows you that the koach of positivity. So when I was learning through this and preparing, what brought to mind the Ramban. The Ramban, there are different opinions as to what was Moshe's sin. Okay, what was Moshe's sin at the rock? Parshas Chukas. Of course, we're in Devarim. Interesting, Parshas Vaeschanan. What does Moshe say? Eschanan el Hashem ba'isi leumer. You implored God at that time. You've begun to show me your great wonders and your great works. There is no God like you. Please let me cross the Yarden River. So it's this week's parasha where Moshe reflects back on his sin in Parshas Chukas. And because of the sin in Parshas Chukas, what does Hashem say? No, stop asking me. You're not going in. What exactly was the sin? What exactly was the sin? Hashem told them, gather the people, the Azad Pashuk, his Vayikach Moshe Samatha of Ne Hashem, Ka Asher Tzivau, and he gathers the Moshe and gather the congregation, Vayomer Lem Shimu Nahamorim, Amin Hasala Hazen Notzi Lachamayim. Listen, O you rebels, from this rock will we take out for you water, Vayar Moshe Asyado Vayachas Asel Bamatim Paimayim. He lifted his hand, he strikes the rock, 2 times, water comes out, everybody drinks. So there are different opinions as to what the sin was. Rashi and Chukas tells us he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. However, Rashi at the end of Bamidbar and Parshas Matos tells us actually it was because he became angry. Okay, just something to keep in mind. So Rashi presents us with 2 different opinions. One in Chukas and one later at the end of Bamidbar was actually because of anger. Balaklal Ka'as balakla ta'us, says Rashi, came to the category of anger, then therefore it came to the category of making a mistake. Ibn Ezra says, Hamin hasala zenotzi lachamayim, will take our water. They should have said, from this rock, God will take our water. The Ramban, this is the pshat I want to focus on, but I want to actually quote the Lashon. The Ramban, Nachmanides, quotes the Rambam, Maimonides. And Maimonides says, V'harav Moshe, V'harav Rabbi Moshe, the rabbi, Rabbi Moshe, it's referring to the Rambam, and Ishmona Prakim, Savar Bo Svara. He presents an opinion, V'amar Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashem Chato Hu Shanata Litzad Hargaznus. What was this? He turned to the side of anger. He displayed a temper. But Amru Shimuna Hamorim. So according to the Rambam, the sin was not notzi, the sin was not striking. The sin was 3 words. 3 words. 3 words. that changed his destiny and his path and his fate and the destiny of Knesset Yisrael as well. Three words. Chazal said, Moshe and Hatzindi enter Eretz Yisrael, would have been the Mashiach, Eretz Yisrael would have been built, and the Beis HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. Diktek alav Hashem bisparach. Hashem was medaktik with him. How do you translate medaktik? Exacting with him. Shehe Adam kibahu kol es. But a man like him should become angry. If you recall that one of the things we say in the Tefillah al Hadibra, and we've stressed this many times, this is not just a class on Lashon Hara. Chanufa machlokas. What's the third one? Kaas. Kaiva. Oh, now it's time. Habadaspanim. We just read about Habadaspanim against all odds. Leitzanus Makari. It's obvious that he is not a master painter. I hope with time he will become better. Kas. So I was listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. Diktek alav Hashem bisparach she Adam kemohu ko eis. The Kadosh Baruch was exacting with him. A man like him should become angry. Lifnei adas b'nei Yisrael. B'makom she'ein ra'oi bo ha'kaas. And he, not only did he become angry, but what does that mean? In a place where anger was not even warranted, was not even appropriate, it wasn't even warranted. What did the people want? They wanted water. So God didn't say they should be quiet. Hashem didn't say it's unreasonable. Hashem told Moshe what to do to get them water. You know what the next words are? Chilul Hashem. V'kol kayotze b'zeh b'din ha'ish ha'hu chilul Hashem. Behavior such as this in a man like this constitutes a desecration of God's name. And in fact, that's exactly what Hashem says. You did not make a Kiddush Hashem. But what does it mean if you didn't make a Kiddush Hashem? What did you make?
Hashem.
That's exactly what the man said. Mipnei shemit nu otav kulam umidibu rav. Because from his actions and his speech, hayu lemedin, we would learn. So it's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is telling us in this ending paragraph, that through our speech and through our actions, we have the ability to influence others. And this is exactly what the Rambam says that was the problem here with Moshe Rabbeinu. Because mit nu otav kulam umidiburav, from his actions and his speech, hayu lemedin. You will learn from this. Look at those profound words. And when we learn from the actions of Moshe Rabbeinu the Tova, from a person such as this, we hope to reach success in this world and in the next world. That's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. You're going to get schar. What does schar mean? Schar doesn't mean. What does schar mean? Man, this world, but where do you get your reward?
In the
Olam HaEmes, it's exactly what the Ramban is saying, quoting the Rambam. How could ka'as appear in him? It's one of the worst character traits. It only comes from a bad quality, from a defect in the soul. But listen to the words of the Ramban, and he's quoting the Rambam, Mishmor Prakam. What was Moshe saying? There's a chilul Hashem. Why? Because it came to a category of kas, where there was no room to be angry. Why was it a chilul Hashem? So you could say Moshe himself became angry, but what was the problem? He influences others. And others would learn from him, and he sets an example for others, and we hope to reach Hatzlacha Sa'olam Haza Vaha'olam Haba. You hope through working on yourself, you reach Hatzlacha in this world and the next world. But if you see that Ka'as, one of the worst character traits, is apparent in this person, it means he is a flawed soul. Chalila V'chas. I'm only reading you what the Ramban says for your own reference. It's the Ramban to Perak Chaf Pasuk Ches, chapter 20, verse 8 in the book of Bamidbar. So very, very powerful food for thought. Now, having that in mind, let's just quickly read through this paragraph again. And now it brings us many, many new insights. V'hinei mimasha amu chazal oy l'rasha oy l'shcheino tov l'tzadik tov l'shcheino. In other words, it doesn't literally mean your neighbor, we understand, but people that you associate with. Muchach mizeh ki ka adam po el b'midosev lahashpia azulasa. Every person through his actions has the ability to influence others. And one who accepts upon himself to be careful, on guard with his shmir salashon, and to be careful with his midos, and that's exactly what the Rambam says, that it is a mida ra'a, it is a defective mida rabbi mimakirav yilmadu mimasav. So that was the great sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. But as Rambam say, it influences Well, if Moshe could talk to us, his flock, like that, then we could talk to the children under our care like that. Very scary. So when we behave properly, we get schar not only for our behavior, but for the behavior of those around us who are influenced. Latova. Any questions or comments on anything we said or learned so far? Okay, Perek Dalet. In this we will explain that Hashem from Zrizos encourages, exhorts, pushes man along, that when you do a mitzvah, you should give honor to the mitzvah. Not just to do it, but it should be honorable, and you should do it, we say, in a kavodic fashion. The gam be'ur ha'kasuv, just like the Torah, the source, not the Tanakh, clarifies. Be'ur, to clarify. Ba'al ledavar yichavel lo. One who baz ledavar. One who makes light of a certain matter, who disregards a certain matter, yichavel lo. It will come to our, what's the word for terrorist, Rachman Litzan, in Hebrew? Mechabel. Look at that word. Mechabel. There's the shoresh right there, okay? So it will come to harm you. If you disregard a mitzvah, if you make it light, if you think that it's insignificant, it will come to harm you. Kasuv, it says in Sefer Shmuel, ki mechab le'achab, those who honor me, I will honor, uvoza ye kalu, and those who scorn me will be demeaned. V'kavad HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra. What does it mean to give kavod to Hashem? Mikim mechab le'achab. How do we give kavod to Hashem? Does Hashem need anything from us? Hashem, the Rambam says, Hashem needs nothing from us. What does Hashem need? So how do we give him kavod? Kishechavivim etzah ha'adam mitzvos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we give kavod to Hashem? When his mitzvos are chavivim, are dear to us. We love his mitzvos. V'nizhar b'hem, and we are careful with them. Shebezehu mechavei l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's not much that we could do for Hashem. Hashem needs nothing from us. He doesn't need me to water the garden. He'll make sure the water in his garden is watered. And Hedi said, Hani Machas, Allah Hashem said about herself. She said, Hashem had 14 children. Hashem had hundreds of Shabbos guests. Hashem was Makariv people. Hashem taught in seminary. Was it me? Was Hashem? What does Hashem really need from me? Little me? Nothing. But he does need, not, that's the wrong word, it's honorable to him when the mitzvot are chavivim to us, when they're dear to us and we are careful of them. Shebezehu mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kedi'isa b'tanchuma parshas v'yigash. As the Medrash tells us, Medrash Tanchuma, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, famous Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heyu mechabdim es ha-mitzvos shehein shluchai. Hashem says, you should give kavod to the mitzvos because they are my messengers. U'shlucho sh'adam kavoso. We have a principle that the messenger of a person is like himself. So what is this saying? The mitzvah is a manifestation of Hashem, so to speak. If we honor the mitzvos, it's like we're directly honoring Hashem. Why? Because the mitzvah is the shaliach of Hashem, the messenger of Hashem. Shlucho shel adam kamo. So the messenger of a person, kaviyach, is like a person himself. Therefore, the mitzvah is, in a way, it's hard to say, but the ribono shel olam. And therefore, if you honor the mitzvahs, it's like you give honor to Hashem. And if you, how do they translate buzz? Belittle, disregard, indifferent. They see, they give three explanations. Why? Because really it's hard to translate, because we're not really supposed to translate the Lashon HaKodesh. But okay, if you disregard, make them like ki'ilu l'chvodi bazisa. It's like you denigrated my honor. I'm trying to think of a good example. Let's say a child would come into a parent's room and trash the room. So I think of an example. So what's it really like? What do they really do? I'm talking about the parent's bedroom, right? So what are they really doing? Throw their things all over the place, show a total lack of cover for the parent's bedroom. So really, who are they making a bizayon of? Baz bizayon, embarrassment, shame. The bedroom, the bed, the clothing? Or the parent, you know, you ask the child, I'm trying to think of something, you ask the child to fold the laundry. So maybe they fold it very haphazard and they throw it on your bed and it's really not neat, it's not nice. But really showing a lack of cover, not for the clothing that they just folded and not for the bed that's now a mess. Who is it really a lack of cover for? The parent. So it's the same thing with Kosh Baruch Hu. So we think if we are, if we make a bizayon of the mitzvahs, but we still love Hashem and we honor Hashem, it doesn't work like that. We have to make sure the mitzvahs are bekavodik, because really that's honor upon at the mitzvah, but honor upon the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I thought of, I was preparing, I actually don't think we ever spoke about this Mishnah before, which is so relevant to our class that we, of course, are learning through Pirkei Avos this summer. Chazal tell us, it's Perek Av Mishnah Yud Zayin, chapter 1, Mishnah 17 of Pirkei Avos. Kol Yamai Gadalti Beinei Chachamim. I don't think we ever discussed this Mishnah, right? All my days I grew up amongst the sages. What's the end? You know, some of those. Lo Matzasi, Leguf Tov, Mishtika. Kol Yamai Gadalti Beinei Chachamim. All my days I grew up amongst the sages. Lo Matzasi, Leguf Tov, El Mishtika. I found nothing better for the body than science. Velo HaMidjashua Iker El HaMaisa. The learning is not the Iker of the Davar, but rather the doing. V'chol HaMar B'Dvarim. Anyone who talks too much is going to bring sin. So let's just have a few insights from this Mishnah. I'm quoting from Yachai Yisrael, Rabbi Laam Pirkei Avos. I've recommended this in other classes. It's very beautiful. Someone subsequently told me she bought it for her husband and he was enjoying it so much. I was so happy. It's really very, very beautiful. Rav Lav brings not only his own insights, Rav Lav Shlita, not only his own insights, but many, many other sources. Well, a beautiful compilation of insights on the Mishnah. Mother Rambam, Rabbi Lau writes, speech, so we're talking about speech, because this Mishnah has just told us two things. Lo matzasi leguf tov mishtika. There's nothing better for the body than science. V'chol amar b'dvarim mevichei. The more talk, it's just going to lead to trouble. And it's true. Speech is the shaped form, the outline of the desires of the soul. So your soul has a shapeless form because it is something entirely spiritual. But then we have a shaped form, and that is the physical. For this reason, writes the Maharam, one shall maintain silence whenever possible. Excuse me. For as long as speech, for as long as thought is not expressed in speech, it remains abstract. It remains pure. It possesses a malleability. It's subject to your own will. But once the speech comes out of your mouth, it's no longer subject to your own will. It takes a life of its own, and right now it's subject to the will of somebody else. Rabbi Gamliel states, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel states, he found nothing better for the body than silence. The physical body, the guf, is the outward expression of the soul. It is inferior to the soul, the body. It is tendency towards imperfection, and therefore we should limit our speech, guard it, and make sure it stays within the realm of the soul as much as possible. Author of Sefer Chassidim writes, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid of Regensburg, author of Sefer Chassidim, when I speak, listen to this, I have reason to regret. But when I am silent, I have nothing to regret. Before I speak, I am master over my words. Once the words leave my mouth, they rule over me. I'm going to repeat it. Sefer Chassidim writes, when I speak, I have reason to regret. But when I am silent, I have nothing to regret. Before I speak, I am master over my words. Once the words leave my mouth, they rule over me. Don't you this? You know when you say something and then you think, why did I say it? I shouldn't have said it. How could I have said it? How will it be interpreted? What's the person going to think? By the way, when we mean speech in today's day and age, we of course mean what you type. It's even more dangerous in a way because in an instant it can travel around to who knows even where. So what does it mean when you start pondering those words or think about those words or regretting those words? They're ruling over you. You're now meshubet to the words that you just said. Because it is so difficult to guard one's speech, Yalkut Shimoni teaches, Hashem placed the tongue behind gates. We have barriers, cheeks, lips, teeth. So it's not an accent the way, you know, the nose, I'm thinking, sticks out. The ears stick out, sense of hearing, sense of smell, sense of touch. When you think about the sense of speech, it's really rad. Think how much it's behind. Cheeks, I can't say it, and close my mouth. Lips, tongue, close your mouth a minute. Think of where your tongue is. It's behind a lot of things. So Kosh Baruch saying, are you sure you want to open all that? So Yalkut Shimoni says, that's why Hashem placed the tongue behind those barriers. Maintaining silence is so difficult, yet the reward is correspondingly magnificent. The Baal Shem Tov taught, if a person maintains silence for 40 days, he is imbued with Ruach HaKodesh. When a person, what is a person's skill in this world? Says Maseches Chulin, to act as if he were a mute. Oh, interesting. He brings another opinion. I found nothing better for the body than silence. Lo masasi leguf tov rishtika. Only matters that concern the body. So if you're talking about gashmias, laguf, it's better to be quiet. But when you're talking about matters of ruchnias, Torah, chesed, it's okay to use your speech. I just want to continue. I want to tell you what the Vilna Gaon said. In a famous letter, the Vilna Gaon sent to his family, he wrote as follows. In the other world, listen, the Vilna Gaon wrote, in the other world, for each vain word that he spoke, a person is punished by being slung from one end of the universe to the other. This is merely for unnecessary words. But for forbidden matters, slander, lashon hara, scoffing, late sonas, oath and vows, nedarim you don't keep, controversy, machlokas, curses, particularly in shul, on Shabbos, and Yom Tov, for these one must descend deep into the sha'ol, the place where none of us want to go, and one's every single word has been recorded. So the Vilna Gaon says, we're going to be sung, it's very powerful, for unnecessary words alone, from one end of the earth to the other. But for negative words, for forbidden words, for transgressing, for opening the gates when they should have remained closed, we'll go deep into the Sha'al. The Vilna Gaon advised his family to avoid others. He directed his wife to daven at home, rather than go to Sha'al. Furthermore, says Rav Lau, unbelievable. One must exercise care even in speaking well of others. And we know this, and this is practical. Halacha l'maisa, moving into the halacha day. You even have to be careful when you compliment. Why? One's person's praise of someone else may encourage others to discredit that person. And therefore, the Gemara says in Maseches Arachin, never speak well of your friend. As a result, you may come to destroy his reputation. So it's not just a nice piece of advice, but this is what the Gemara actually says in Arachin. You should not speak well. You might talking about, a lesson a day. We have to be careful even when we compliment, because we don't know who you're complimenting to and what beef that person has with the person you just met. You think he's such a tzaddik? Let me tell you what he did to me 15 years ago. King Melech Shlomo writes, Shomer piv ulashono and mishlei shomer mitzaras nafsho. Shomer piv ulashono, one who guards his mouth and his tongue. Shomer mitzaras nafsho. Not only can useless speech lead to forbidden ugly words, but in itself is problematic. There's another issur. So look how many issurim you're violating just by forbidden speech. It also constitutes a waste of time, says Rabbi Lau. So not only is the forbidden speech forbidden because you'll destroy someone else's reputation, you're killing somebody else. Not only is forbidden speech forbidden because you're going to embarrass somebody else. Osam mor al dam reyecha is not only referring to his physical blood. Shouldn't stand there when someone is being killed. A way of killing someone is embarrassing someone. That woman took action. She stood up when she heard the whole important head of the exhibition. She got up and she said, I heard what was said and I disagree. These paintings are beautiful. They are passionate. They're poetic. Your forbidden words and ugly words also constitutes a waste of time. And therefore, Rava says, in Maseches Yuma, a person who engages in conversation, idle chatter, violates the commandment of V'dibartam bam. It's from the second paragraph of, it's from Shema. It's this week's parasha. It's Aschanet, it's Perek Vav. You should speak of, you should speak of Torah. So look at this. Here you're violating another mitzvah, the mitzvah to speak of Torah. But when you speak idle chatter, and when you speak leitzanus, and when you speak kas, and when you speak machlokas, and when you speak chil Hashem, and when you speak lashon hara, when you speak rechilas, not only did you embarrass someone, not only did you kill someone, not only did you stand silent while your brother's blood is being shed, not only lefnei ive lo sita michshol, maybe you don't know, you said something to another person, you're putting a stumbling block before him. He hates that guy. So you just put a stumbling block before him because now he's going to feel compelled to tell you what an idiot that person is. Excuse me, I'm being serious. Not only did you violate v'dibartam b'mishiv z'chav v'sech v'lech v'adarach, you killed three people, you killed yourself, Rachman al-Tzlan, and the consequences are dire to the point where the Vilna Gaon says we'll be slung from one end of the earth to the other. One more thought. I just wanted to end with this. Perfect way to end. Moving into Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah Brura writes, huh? Who's Mishnah Brura? Chafetz Chaim. Moving into Tisha B'Av, you know, it's very interesting. I was talking to my daughter last night. I told her she'd come with me my shir tomorrow on Tisha B'Av. She said, you know, it's very hard for me when I'm fasting to think of the Beis HaMikdash Mami. She's 14. She said it's so astutely. She said, when I'm fasting, all I could really think about is that I'm hungry. She says, I could think about it more when I'm not fasting. I said, I know, but that's the halacha. So just as a point of interest, and of course I'm not talking about Tisha B'Av here, it's a person's personal repentance. The Mishnah Berurah states, a person who wishes to fast in order to atone for his sins should preferably engage in a fast of silence rather than a fast from food. It's relatively easy to refrain from food for 24 hours. I know we're hungry, but we're able to do it. I'm talking about a normal, healthy, functioning person. But can you imagine trying to close your mouth for 24 hours? I can't even imagine. Whereas abstaining from food weakens the body and the ability to serve Hashem and learn Torah, which is really what my daughter was saying. I can't really think about the Beis Hamikdash when I'm so hungry. Refraining from speech has no negative consequence on the guf. That's why lo matzasi le guf tov mishtika, because the fast of words doesn't affect your guf. It affects your neshama. It's interesting. You're physically refraining from speech, and what does it affect? Really, your soul. It doesn't diminish your physical capabilities, but you feel such a stirring inside to have to speak. The Vilna Gaon expresses the same idea in his famous letter referenced above. A person would do better to afflict himself with fasting, says the Vilna Gaon. A person would do better to afflict himself with silence rather than fasting and self-mortification. The sages say the world exists only for those who restrain themselves from speech during a conflict. So if, yes, we're all going to fast, but you have to keep in mind the true purpose of what we're trying to do. If today is the day, we began the shiur by saying that today is the day that the Meraglim came back. This, Chasav, today is the day of the Koach of Lashon Hara. Today is the day that they sat down and they told everybody what a bad land it is. And it is incumbent upon us, how can we rectify that? We're not going to all go around and take a tiny deeper today, but to keep in mind the Koach of speech and the long-lasting ramifications, not only on ourselves, but upon those around us. Okay, any questions or comments?
I did have a personal experience just last night where somebody said something positive about a person, and the other person was like, well, does that make me not a good person because I can't do what that person did?
Very interesting. You mean they took such affront at the compliment.
Yeah, and she wasn't anything directed towards that person. It was just saying how this person did something so nice, and the other person was just... Not that she said, oh, did she do something bad? But it was like, well, does that make me not good because I wouldn't do that?
She became very defensive from a compliment.
It was so weird.
But you see how smart Chazal are into human nature? So that's why the Gemara says it could come to ruin a person's reputation. You don't know how a person will react. So here we have a very real, timely, concrete, just happened example. So what? I'm just wondering, what did the other person say?
The first person?
Yeah.
She was saying how this woman took her, many grandchildren up with her to the country. She took by herself. Parents didn't come. She took 7, 8 kids up. Young kids to the country, and she took care of them. And the other person, well, just because I wouldn't do that, does that make me And it was just such an innocuous.
And how did everyone respond?
They didn't say anything.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I wanted to know.
Didn't say anything.
That was my question. How did the person respond? The first person.
She didn't say anything. There was nothing to say.
She didn't say anything.
It was just
that wasn't the point.
Yeah, there wasn't the point. She wasn't saying anything about her. She was just saying.
But you know why it's so difficult and dangerous? How are you supposed to know? Here you think you're saying something nice. How are you supposed to know when you can't even say a compliment? You don't know how another person's going to react negatively when you're really trying to say something positive.
Yeah, it wasn't anything.
Perhaps that's why Rav Salvechik says, quote, you want to know what Lashon Hara is? Lashon Hara is anything you enjoy speaking about somebody else. So in the time when we first quoted that, we said, we're talking about speaking negative, but maybe it really means anything you enjoy speaking about somebody else, whether it's positive or negative, because you don't know either which way what's going to cause a dangerous reaction, a destructive reaction. It's unbelievable. Human nature is... Okay. The habitual sinner. In the case of the habitual sinner who ignores a particular commandment altogether, so a habitual, not someone who sins by accident, not someone who does it once in a while, a habitual sinner who ignores this mitzvah, one is to assume that even a questionable act is a transgression of the commandment, judge your fellow. One is to assume even a questionable act is, in fact, a transgression. So in other words, at times when you would behave, again, it's called Adam Lekav Schus, he goes on to say, judge your fellow favorably, Adam Lekav Schus demands fairness, not naivety. Did I say it right? Naivete? Mm-hmm. Which one? Naivety, naivete?
Naivete.
So interesting. Haveidan is called Adam Lekav Schus demands fairness, not naivete. So if a person habitually sins in a certain mitzvah, and you know they habitually sin in a certain mitzvah, comes to a point where you're not supposed to be Adam Lekav Schus anymore, that they didn't do the mitzvah, because Lemaisa, that they didn't do that mitzvah, because Lemaisa, they're transgressing. Having concluded, therefore, that a person does transgress, you must seek to understand why he frequently commits the sin. So even if you know he's absolutely sinning, and he's doing it habitually, and it's happening over and over, why? It may be due to ignorance. He may be totally unaware the act is forbidden. He might not realize the severity of the prohibition. So it's not just some that he's rebelling l'hachis. So where do you have to be down the kaf schus? You understand what we're saying here? You still do have to give the benefit of the doubt, not in regard to the action itself. It's clear that he is acting contrary to halacha and contrary to Torah. But now you have to take your judging favorably to the side of merit in regard to his motives. In regard to the why. So you still have to apply judgment favorably in regard to his thought process. Maybe he's unaware that the act is forbidden. Maybe he doesn't realize the severity of the prohibition. Rav Levi Yitzchak HaBerdichev was once walking, the great defender of the Jews, the great Berdichev, where he was walking on Yom Kippur, and he saw a fellow Jew in the street, and the Jew was eating. Rav Levi Yitzchak said to him, a non-affiliated Jew, a non-affiliated Jew, so Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, it's a perfect example. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said, Rabbi Yer, maybe you don't know today's Yom Kippur. So the man said, I know. So he said, Rabbi Yer, maybe you don't know you're supposed to be in shul all day today. I know. Maybe you don't know you're not supposed to eat today. I know. So Rabbi Yitzchak looked up at heaven. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, look how fine your people are. The Torah says, Midvar Shekar Tircha. And this man is a man of emes. So we have to try and find extending circumstances as to why they're sinning. So it's obvious that the man is walking the street and eating on Shabbos. But maybe you don't know it's Yom Kippur. You might be unaware the act is forbidden. Maybe you don't know you're not supposed to be eating. He might not raise the severity of the prohibition that it's Christ. I'm adding in the story of Levi Yitzchak. Should this be the case, one must find some way of enlightening the person without hurting his feelings. Discussing his behavior with others would therefore constitute lashon hara. So I thought of an example. It's brought down in the biography of Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Allah HaShalom, that there was once, you know, they also had many people in their home, and there was once a person they're helping out, who I think was not Shomer Shabbos, and she was washing the dishes on Shabbos, and there was someone else in the Kanievsky home, I believe it may have been a grandchild, who wanted to, you know, rebuke the woman. She was washing the Shalshidus dishes, and to tell her, we don't wash the dishes, Shabbos, you know, to do this. But the Kanievsky said, don't tell her now. She's new to this, she's sensitive, she does not know. I will find a way to tell her in the right time. So there's a sensitivity that even though a person may in fact be transgressing, it's still not an excuse to go out and speak negatively about them to other people. It's still not an excuse to go become ka'as, to go become angry. You have to look for the reason why they're doing this and try and enlighten them. And then you put something very important in brackets. This situation is common among those who were raised in communities where there is widespread violation of certain laws. It's very interesting. In such instances, people mistakenly view those who observe those laws as machmirim, individuals who are stringent beyond the letter of the law. This is very interesting. So in communities where certain things have become accepted, even though they're asr, and let's say one person or a few people know the real halacha, then people see them as machmirim. But really, they're not machmirim, they're following the halacha. There could be examples like this. I was in someone's home a little while ago, and it was Shabbos, and I saw them doing something clearly, whatever, Asar Malacha related, that was clearly Asar. I thought to myself, maybe they don't know. Maybe they grew up in a place where they never knew. Maybe in the home there wasn't the chinuch that you can't squeeze the fruit with a juicer on Shabbos. Like, maybe they really don't know. It wasn't electric, right? They're not plugging anything in. Maybe they really don't know. So we have to give people the benefit of the doubt, not that to right away go tell your husband, did you see what so-and-so was doing? I can't believe she's doing that on Shabbos. It's not appropriate. It's not doing the hachis. Obviously, it's a pattern. It's a perfect example. It's a habitual sinner, but you need to be done the kaf sechus, not into the action, but as to the motives. I'm going to end with this page, which I don't usually do because this is a Hashkafa page, but I put an asterisk because I think it's important. The sin of Lashon Hara can result in accumulation of sins greater than the three cardinal sins, which relates exactly to Churban Beis HaMikdash and Maseches Yuma Daf Tes. First, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of three cardinal sins. Second, was destroyed because of Sin Eschinim. Part of Sin Eschinim is Lashon Hara. And the Gemara there says, Lamdecha Sheshkula Sin Eschinim Keneged Shalosh Aveiros. Put them on a scale. You put basis hatred here and you put adultery and bloodshed here, they're going to be equal. But then we quote Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Peah. There are four sins, Eilu Dvarim Shein Lahem Shir. So we say the positive in the morning, the mitzvos, but it works the other way as well for Averos. There are four sins which retribution is exacted in this world, but Ein Lahem Shir in the next world. That's where you're going to get your true punishment in the next world, and they are, says the Yerushalmi, idol worship, Avodah Zara, immorality, Gilereis, murder. Shvichas damim, the lashon hara keneged kulam. The sin of slander is equal to them all. In Tana Devei Eliyahu, we read, those who strike their fellow through lashon hara, those who desecrate Hashem's name in public, those who belittle their neighbor with words, and those who inflict strife, their end will be like Korach. Those who strike through lashon hara, those who desecrate chilul Hashem, belittle their neighbors with words, those who run to machlokas, they will meet their end like Korech v'kol Adasa. So very, very sobering to keep in mind. But just end by saying we should remember that today is the day of Lashon Hara. It's the day that set the tone for generations. The crying that night on Tisha B'Av was preceded by the Lashon Hara of Chesav. We all have a choice. It could be the director who stands up, and maybe it was Emes, maybe the paintings weren't so nice. He was a severely handicapped individual who was painting with his mouth, so I'm sure they didn't look like Van Gogh. So we have a choice. You could stand up and build another person, stand and destroy another person. When we build our world, we build our city, we build our home, we build the home of Akash Baruch Hu, so to speak. And when we destroy, we not only destroy ourselves, we destroy our city, we destroy our land, we destroy the house of Akash Baruch Hu. So we should be zochet that our Mo'ed, which for Bachurai should be turned to a Mo'ed, a Mo'adim l'simcha, all of Knesset Yisrael. It should be a Menachem of for us all. Amen v'amen.